Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I just wonder if y'all were done. That's all. Everybody's finished?
I don't know. You want us to be done?
Okay, yeah, pretty much. That's all.
Okay.
I got to get to Michael Glasser here, president of the Police Association of New Orleans, to talk about the internal problems within NOPD. How you doing, Captain?
Good morning, sir.
And I will alert any people that are listening, officials or whatever, if you have any objections or comments or questions or you want to talk to the captain, 504-260-1870. I know he's not hesitant to talk about the internal problems of NOPD. Primarily morale, Captain, is that where you would start? If I were to sit down with you and say, tell me how to fix NOPD, where would you start?
Well, I've been over this many, many, many times, and what I've said has been verified not only by the exit interviews of officers that have been obtained by the media, but in the superintendent's own survey and the things that I've been telling people all along that we hear from our officers. The Public Integrity Bureau and the disciplinary process is the number one issue that is driving officers away from this job and will continue to do so until it's remedied.
Disciplinary process as handed out by the Public Integrity Bureau, they are one and the same or two different things?
No, they are one and the same. They oversee and either conduct or oversee investigations into misconduct and then the initiation of discipline. And while that's a very necessary function, it has to happen. Every department has one. We need one. But the manner in which it's done is the problem.
Let's talk about that. What is wrong with the manner in which it is done?
Well, first, I want to say two things very, very quickly, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Regarding your interview last week with Councilman Green last Thursday, I overheard that, and I'd like to say that I appreciate the councilman expressing support of the NOPD and the job we do daily. I do take exception to some of the things that were said. First, he said he's met with me several times, and I'm sorry, but this is not true. We've never met, despite my attempts to arrange a meeting. Other than when I've addressed the entire council, I've never met with Councilman Green. Councilman Green also said he'd be willing to meet with me, and that's apparently not true either, because I called his office on Thursday that day to arrange a meeting. I was told to send an email to him and his staff. I did that. I've gotten no answer. I followed it up on Monday with a second email to him and his staff, no answer. So I can only assume that he has no interest in meeting me for that information. Of course, he characterized my remarks as saying that the information I had is so confidential that it's too confidential to share. And, of course, I never said that. I said I can't disclose the individual officers without their consent. But I've talked it over with our general counsel, and I'm prepared to discuss some cases right now that should not pose any problem at all.
Go ahead, Captain. I'm sorry. No, please. Go ahead.
Got a question. I know I'm going fast, but I know.
No, go ahead. No, you got an hour. We want to hear it. Because let me tell you something. Okay. I don't think there's anything more important than hearing from you about the internal problems of the NOPD and exposing them, because if we don't, we're never going to get it fixed. So go ahead, please.
I fully agree.
Okay.
Secondly, yesterday I attended a meeting with both the superintendent and the mayor, along with an entire bureau of officers. They're going around to the city and discussing things with the department, which, of course, is a very good thing. They articulated a number of issues that are of some importance to the officers, which they were considering. They were generally minor issues of grooming, uniform parts, and other things which are not major issues, but it would make life easier for all the officers, and we appreciate them doing that in spite of the fact that it's not the major issue, but we do appreciate it.
Like, tell me, give me an example of that, Captain. Like, what are you talking about, shaving or what?
Beards. The officers want to wear beards, and they want to wear what we call load-bearing vests and sometimes wear ball hats instead of the full garrison hat and things like that. Mm-hmm. Pretty minor issues, proving standards, things of that nature.
Okay.
The mayor also said that most of the conventional and official protocols in attempting to end the consent decree have been less than fruitful, and in her words, it was time to make the fight public. And I couldn't agree more. That's absolutely true. But she also asked me if I had anything I wanted to say. And I was kind of puzzled with that because she said that she's heard me on WWL and certainly in other media venues. And I brought these issues that I've had to say to the city council, to the Civil Service Commission, to the OIG, to the AG, to the OIPM, to the federal monitors, and to the superintendent. And I can only say that maybe she and Councilman Green may be the only two people in New Orleans that don't know what I have to say. So for her and the councilman, let's take this fight to the public as well, and let's talk about these issues. And I'll begin now. Case one. In February 2020, two officers, whom I'll call Officer A, the driver, and Officer B, the passenger, were involved in the arrest of a drug offender. The arrest started out as a traffic stop where the driver exited his car and walked back towards the officers, then ran back to his car and tried to reach under the driver's seat. Officer A tried to stop him, and a struggle ensued, and force was used. Officer B climbed through the defendant's car from the passenger side and assisted Officer A. A use of force investigation was completed by the district supervisors, as is required, and with the assistance of the PIB FIT team, and the FIT team is an acronym for Force Investigation Team. They're the group of PIB investigators who investigate uses of force by police officers. That's all they do. That's their specific job. Both officers were cleared of any use of force violations. One sergeant even commented that the officers used great restraint in dealing with the arrest. Subsequently, a review of this matter by a PIB lieutenant resulted in a lieutenant finding a serious use of force, what is called a level 4 use of force violation against Officer A, the driver officer. The same lieutenant then investigated this complaint, subsequently wrote a report justifying his conclusion. Now, this incident happened in February. If you remember, in May 2020, a few months later, was right after the George Floyd incident. And the lieutenant described the use of force by Officer A as very similar to that was used in George Floyd, with the defendant allegedly saying, "You're on my neck, I can't breathe." That's a very serious allegation. And the most serious problem in this case is that the defendant never actually said that, although that's what he reported and that's what he testified.
Wait, let me slow you down a little bit here because I want to get on to this. Who investigated it originally?
Originally, it's done by the district rank, okay, the sergeants that supervise the officers. And they did that, and then that was subsequently reviewed by two sergeants from the FIT team.
Is this body cam footage here we're talking about or a report?
Body cam,
okay. So originally the district rank looks at it and they say, you know what, you actually exercised restraint, you could have gone further.
Correct.
Okay. Then the Public Integrity Bureau lieutenant, who is, how many people are on this Public Integrity Bureau?
Well, it's probably, I'm going to guess it's probably 30 people altogether, but the FIT team, the Force Investigation Team, is the part of PIB that looks at these things.
Okay.
The two sergeants from the FIT team reviewed it, and they found, other than they also used a little profanity in the course of making the arrest, which, of course, is a violation, a minor one, they saw no problem with the use of force. The lieutenant who supervised them, on the other hand, found that there was a problem. And what he reported was, amongst a number of things that I'm going to talk about, that the defendant who was being arrested said, "You're on my neck, I can't breathe." And, of course, we all know that sounds like what was going on at the time with George Floyd, a very egregious issue. So the report and investigation was seriously flawed, and here's why. First of all, the lieutenant who investigated the case did not interview the defendant, although the district rank did do that. They talked to him, but he did not. The accused citizen made no complaint of injury or abuse and even apologized to the officer for his behavior in trying to get back to his car and reach under the seat. None of this information was in the report. The lieutenant only interviewed the accused officer's partner, Officer B, and did not transcribe that statement as required by policy. He subsequently only added his version of her statement, which was edited to the point of being misleading. That officer would eventually testify that the lieutenant tried to convince her to agree with his characterization of what happened that night, coercing a statement. The lieutenant then omitted the statement entirely from the report, which is also against policy. When the lieutenant took the officer's statement, he never once asked him about the alleged statement of the suspect saying he could not breathe. 3 days after the statement was taken, and that's on the day the George Floyd homicide hit the news, our Officer A was suddenly and without warning called in, reassigned to a desk job, and he had been working for several months prior to that. He was called in and immediately taken off the street. The panel attorney was unable to see the reports until the day of Officer A's hearing, which panel had a suit to get. We had to suit him to get the report. When we finally got the report, It was learned that the lieutenant had alleged in his report the officer had kneeled on a suspect's neck and continued to do so until the suspect said, "You're on my neck, I can't breathe." But the body-worn camera video and audio showed that never happened. Lieutenant used this quote to conclude that Officer A intentionally abused the suspect. But that didn't happen. Lieutenant also found that Officer A further abused the suspect by picking him up while he was handcuffed from behind and dropping him face first to the ground. The panel attorney argued both events simply did not happen as reported and testified to by the investigating PIB lieutenant as evidenced by the body-worn camera. And he questioned the inclusion of these false facts in his report. The three chiefs comprising the panel, including the PIB chief who approved the report to begin with, took no action against the lieutenant for falsifying the report and rendering false testimony. And the lieutenant even apologized, but they merely moved on, gave the officer an 80-day suspension, and Officer B, the partner officer, was never mentioned at all. When the three chiefs took no action, the panel attorney made a complaint against the lieutenant for reporting and testifying to false information and improper reporting. The complaint against the lieutenant was simply ruled unfounded, and nothing came of it. Now, I want to read to you what the civil service hearing officer had to say about this. That hearing officer is a lawyer that's hired by civil service to basically act as a judge in appeal hearings and other matters before the commission. He essentially works like a judge in civil court. And what he said was, and I'll quote this, what he said was, "The investigation had lots of gaps and reflects some uncertainty regarding the actions and intent of Officer A. The lieutenant made the ultimate conclusions and recommendations. The disciplinary letter itself was filled with inaccuracies. For example, it said that the officer had his foot on the suspect's neck, a false and serious charge. This is quite different from a knee on the back. The lieutenant also claimed that Officer A picked up and dropped the arrested man, also untrue. Members of the investigation team reviewed the footage and the statement of Officer A and did not find that Officer A was in violation. Yet the lieutenant ultimately concluded that there was a violation. Also, it is unclear why various witnesses to the scene were not interviewed at any length, if at all. The lieutenant never questioned the officer about his version of the events. His partner, Officer B, who also witnessed the entire incident, was never officially questioned by the lieutenant. Nor was her statement to an investigating team ever transcribed as required by policy. In fact, the lieutenant said he only counseled Officer B, but he testified that he tried to, he tried to convince her to agree with his characterization of what happened that night."
The lieutenant tried to convince Officer B, correct? That's what you're saying?
To change her statement, that's correct.
Okay.
He also claimed that the knee to the back incident was not reported until later, but it was clearly reported at the very beginning. Well, that's the statement of the hearing officer. So what we have is, we have false information, we have fabricated evidence, we have omitted statements, we have coercion, and the lieutenant apologizes and we just move on. It's perfectly fine. Nothing's done about it.
Officer A got an 80-day suspension. Is he still with the force? Or her?
Whoever? Yes, he is.
Okay.
It was ultimately reduced, and he's still on the force. Yes, he is. And the appeal on that is still ongoing, but that's where we are with that.
Are you ready to name the lieutenant or not?
I'd rather not at this point. Like I said, I don't want to name it, but I'll tell you the incident.
Let me take a break, Captain, and we'll pick it up here when we come back. These statements that the lieutenant made about "I can't breathe" that were falsified, that was made under oath?
Yes, sir.
Like at a deposition?
That's correct.
And they were found to be false and no action was taken?
It was deemed unfounded.
All right. We'll pick it up here. We come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Captain Michael Glasser, President, Police Association of New Orleans. You want to know what's wrong with NOPD, how to fix the problems, how to get people to stay on the force and to join the force? Well, we're trying to sort it out right now. We'll be back, WWL. Tommy Tucker talking to Captain Michael Glasser, President of Police Association of New Orleans. We keep hearing more officers, more officers, more officers. We also hear from Michael Glasser often that there are internal problems within NOPD that need to be solved, systemic problems that need to be resolved, and if not, it's never going to get any better in terms of retention or recruitment. So far, Captain, I'm going to try to recount this real quick. Stop me if I say anything wrong. You got officers A and B involved in a traffic stop. At one point, the suspect goes and tries to retrieve something from underneath the front seat of their car. The officers restrain him. There was no complaint filed. The suspect even apologized to the officers for doing that. The district rank reviewed the body cam video, came up clean. They said, no, if anything, you showed some restraint. Then the FIT team reviewed it. Two sergeants said it was okay, other than some obscene language, which I have a salty mouth myself. I understand that, especially under those conditions. One lieutenant, however, said, no, wait a minute now. At some point, you had your foot on the neck of this man like George Floyd, and he said, I can't breathe, which was completely fabricated and was in no way true. Is that accurate so far, what I've said?
Yes, sir, it is.
So a reasonable person would now say, why in the world would a lieutenant make up something like that?
Well, I don't know what the answer is to that. I can only say that perhaps coincidentally it was right after George Floyd. It was, I mean, literally, this happened at the end of February. George Floyd's incident was the end of May, and by the time this came around, it was around the same time.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And I can't answer that question. I don't know that anybody ever asked him exactly why he said what he said, why he omitted the other partner's statement, why he didn't interview other people, why he try to coerce this other officer to change the statement, why he reported an incident of dropping the defendant on his face while handcuffed, and that didn't happen either. And apparently, the department decided all that was unfounded and didn't merit any further investigation.
Was this lieutenant promoted to deputy chief?
No, he's not.
Okay.
But there is another incident I'm going to describe in a moment, but he was, in fact, promoted in terms of assignment. He's was promoted to a assistant district commander of a police district.
Do you get the sense that he was acting at the behest of someone?
Well, I won't say at the behest, but I'll say certainly with the approval, because the three chief panel that heard this, one of the chiefs was, in fact, the chief of public integrity, who was one of the three chiefs, who took no action against this lieutenant for doing so and, in fact, approved the reports and everything that was contained therein.
Let me go back real quick, too. Did you say you spoke with the mayor yesterday and she heard you on WWL because she refuses to come on? She goes on another radio station. But that she was ready to talk about the damage that the consent decree is, the fight? I didn't quite understand what you were saying there about the consent decree. Go ahead.
One of the main things we talk about all the time, other than PIB, is the consent decree. Obviously, that's been a problem. It's come up many times. We're in 10 years into a six-year consent decree, and it was just a matter of the city trying to finish its obligation and being somewhat frustrated at that point that the mayor suggested that the fight to end the consent decree might now have to go public, and I don't disagree with that. I think it should. But likewise, I think this fight needs to go public as well because I've exhausted every opportunity to get this fixed. This particular case, we specifically sent a letter to the superintendent requesting that this case be reviewed because of all these issues and got no response.
Go on with some other. I think you have another example, a couple of them, Captain?
Sure.
You want to share with us?
Coincidentally, the same lieutenant is involved in this one, a PIB sergeant, also in the 5th team, conducting an administrative quality control review of a police shooting investigation, found some irregularities in the investigation. A suspect lineup was shown to one of the officers who had been shot, but the lineup and its results were left out of the report. We can't do that. Those things are, everything has to be included in a report. It's what we call Brady material, should an arrest be made. The PIB sergeant advised the PIB captain and chief of his concerns and was told that if you think there's a violation by the lieutenant who conducted the lineup and supervised the investigation, then write up the infraction and investigate. The sergeant did as ordered, and this, as I said, is the same lieutenant that we just discussed. Following his write-up, the lieutenant then accused the sergeant of wrongdoing, and another investigation resulted. This is actually prohibited by NOP rules. We call it retaliation. If one officer writes up somebody else, that officer can't write them up in response because we consider that retaliation. But nonetheless, he did it, and it was investigated. Ultimately, the sergeant's complaints on a lieutenant for omitting the lineup were sustained, and the sergeant's complaint that the lieutenant wrote him up was retaliatory was also sustained. However, subsequently, PIB chief's hearing subsequently overturned the finding of retaliation on the part of the lieutenant. Now, bear in mind, this incident involved the shooting of two police officers. One suspect was captured shortly after the incident with the weapon he used to shoot the officers. There was said to be a second suspect still at large and unidentified. The lineup was created and presented to one of the victim officers in an effort to identify the second perpetrator. But here's the really puzzling part of this incident. Besides just leaving the lineup out, when this lieutenant gave a statement to another PIB lieutenant who was investigating the complaint of leaving the lineup out, he made a comment that I find extremely puzzling. I'm going to read it to you from the statement. And he says, "You know why these lineups were shown. And if we're going to be honest, the lineups were shown because we already knew there was no second perpetrator. We knew that from day one on the body worn camera. But because of what was said on the media, oh, we're looking for a second perpetrator, you got to help the department save face. So we were ordered to go show that for press purposes." Well, that kind of bothered me somewhat. I mean, we're showing, basically, he created a lineup, a criminal lineup, showed the lineup to a victim officer who was shot in a criminal investigation, knowing full well there was no second perpetrator. So the department wouldn't be embarrassed since they reported a second perpetrator to the media and then just left it all out of the report. The investigating lieutenant who heard that statement took no action, and apparently both PIB lieutenants think this is proper and legal. How do we have a criminal lineup shown in a criminal investigation where they know there never was a second perpetrator to begin with, and a lineup was not shown to further a legitimate investigation, but as a public image saver for the department? And as I pointed out, subsequently, this lieutenant was promoted to second in command of a district.
What type of recourse do officers have? I guess eventually what I'm trying to get to is at some point this goes up to the superintendent, or do you talk to the superintendent about these type of things as the president of Pano? Is it all through civil service? Walk me through all of that, Captain, because this seems like it's egregious. It's obviously wrong. It's certainly detrimental to keeping officers on the payroll, not to mention attracting new ones and retaining them. Do you talk to the superintendent about this? Do you two sit down occasionally? What's the relationship there?
Yes, we do. We have talked about it. We meet with the superintendent probably once every 2 months, sometimes 3 months, depending upon his schedule. But we do sit down and talk about these things. We've submitted it in writing. Clearly, the superintendent is aware of my comments to the city council, to the Civil Service Commission, to the media like I am right now. I mean, this is not a secret. Like I said, there can't be anybody left in the city who doesn't know what I have to say about this, as many times I've repeated it over the years. And, yes, we bring these cases in. They go to appeal. He has to approve all these things. And bear in mind, everything has to pass through his desk and get his authorization. So he's got to know what's going on with this. And we have tried every possible way to do this internally and get these things straightened out, because not only does it affect the officers who are involved in this, but the other officers know and they see what's going on and they say, when am I going to be next? Am I going to be the next one who's going to be the victim of this? They see what goes on. No matter what PIB does, no matter what rules, laws, or policies they violate, nothing ever happens. And if you happen to be the unfortunate person on the other end, you're going to suffer for it. And that's what's causing cops to say, I don't want to work in this environment.
We're going to take a break. I'm going to pick it up here when we come back, because I'm trying to wrap my mind around all of this, Captain. What I'm trying to figure out is, what possible motive could this lieutenant have? Who is he? Who is he trying to placate? Is somebody trying to be placated? Is it about the community? Why in the world would you do something that would hurt the department of which you're a part, not to mention punishing people when there is no need, when they're under intense scrutiny already, punishing them and making up statements that are not true? I don't understand how all of this can happen or why it's happening, and maybe you can shed a little bit of light on that when we come back. 9:39, 21 till 10, we're talking to Michael Glasser, Captain, President of the Police Association of New Orleans, about the systemic problems within NOPD and why so many officers are leaving, why it's so hard to recruit new ones, and how money is at the bottom of the list. And we keep talking about paying more and more, which is certainly a part of it. But until you fix these types of things, I don't think NOPD's going to stop the bleeding and are going to continue to hemorrhage experienced officers. Let's take a look at traffic now on WWL. 9:46, 14 before 10, Tommy Tucker talking to Captain Michael Glasser, President of the Police Association of New Orleans. There's a huge problem with NOPD, a huge crime problem in the city because of the shortage of officers that will never be addressed until you stop hemorrhaging and losing experienced officers and replace them with recruits. And if you lose a 10-year officer, is going to take a long time to get that much experience, is what I'm trying to say in my own clumsy way. I'm not going to try to recap everything that Captain Michael Glasser has said. You can download the Odyssey app and use the rewind feature for that. We'll also have the audio posted as a podcast in a little bit. Captain, are you an attorney or not?
No, sir, I'm not.
Okay. But I presume you are a man of reasonable intelligence, and here's what I'm saying. You would have to be some kind of idiot to come on WWL and lie about what you're saying. Would you not agree?
Everything I'm saying is available through public records requests or through public documents that have already been published.
It would have to be, and I just want to clear that up for the audience. So I tell you beforehand, my mind is having a hard time wrapping itself around this. Because who would want to make an organization intentionally dysfunctional? Who would want to make it harder to retain officers that are seasoned and on the job and make up things that they didn't do, suspend them for 80 days? I don't understand what the thought process is here. I know you don't like to speculate, but what the hell is going on in the department, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, Let me refer you to one more case. I'll make it very brief, and maybe that'll make things a little clearer.
All right.
Okay. 2 years ago, we had a secret investigation of an NOPD captain, which was conducted, and ultimately the captain was demoted and terminated for allegations of wrongdoing. During the hearing, ranking officers within PIB, including a sergeant on the special investigation squad and the deputy chief of PIB, gave such conflicting testimony of material fact that the hearing examiner described the testimony as evasive and not credible. The investigation not conformed to the state laws regarding such investigations, and the termination was ultimately overturned and the employee was reinstated. In regards to what the deputy chief's testimony and the sergeant's testimony was with this, I'm going to read the hearing officer's remarks on this, and this is pretty self-explanatory, and it's fairly brief. PIB did not provide any credible explanation at the hearing to explain or justify its continued surveillance of the appellant through December 18, 2018, 3 months after cognizance of the violation. The sergeant acknowledged that once SIS, that's the Special Investigation Squad, verifies a violation of internal policy or law, they are obligated to report it to the deputy chief. However, the sergeant was evasive and questioned regarding the reporting responsibility. While he testified that he reported to the deputy chief on a regular basis, he did not want to confirm or deny that he had discussed the appellant's surveillance with his superior during the period of surveillance. Considering the totality of circumstances, including the appellant's rank, assignment, and her unique position as the only female district commander, it is simply not credible that the sergeant failed to apprise the deputy superintendent of the information gleaned from SIS's surveillance. If that was in fact the case, the sergeant failed to follow policy regarding his reporting responsibilities, including the appellant's rank, assignment, and her unique position. Deputy Superintendent of PIB's testimony was also evasive and in conflict with that of her subordinate, the sergeant. The sergeant testified that the formal investigation was initiated based on the results of surveillance. However, the deputy superintendent testified that the eventual initiation of a formal complaint was not connected to the months of surveillance, which she authorized. She stated that she had no actual knowledge of the individuals who were the subjects of the surveillance. Her testimony suggests that she was not aware that the appellant was under surveillance and that she did not know that SIS had observed repeated alleged violations of internal policy by the appellant. Her testimony is troubling in that it suggests that she either misrepresented the truth regarding her knowledge of the violation, which required her to initiate a formal investigation, or that she was not properly supervising her subordinate, the sergeant, by her failure to stay abreast of the surveillance of a conspicuous high-ranking member of the department. So basically what you're saying, how can ranking officers in the Special Investigation Squad and the Chief of Internal Affairs, PIB, render conflicting testimony under oath and then have that testimony described as untruthful and evasive by the hearing officer, and then the entire matter is overturned because of violating state laws regarding investigations, and no one questions it. Nothing. It is apparently acceptable. And therein lies the problem. From the top down, if the chief of PIB is deemed not credible and untruthful under oath in testimony, who then is? And what are we doing about it? And the answer is nothing. And that in is the problem with this department and the major issue why cops are leaving.
Do you think the mayor, do you know the mayor is aware of this? Do you know Chief Ferguson is aware of these things?
They are. There's public documents. We've made this known to all the entities I've discussed earlier, okay? And nothing gets done. It's acceptable, apparently. And we fix everything but this. This stays the same, and this is why officers are leaving. For lesser-paying jobs, and in some cases, now, for higher-paying jobs. But this is why, in spite of the money, in spite of anything else, they're not staying. They don't want to work in conditions like this. They don't want to work under that microscope held by somebody that's not willing to be credible and truthful and do investigations correctly and equitably.
You've been a police officer how long?
I've been a police officer in my 46th year.
You've been conducting investigations, right?
Quite a few, yes.
Okay, so here's my question. Is this about favoritism? Is this about retribution? Is this about trying to run off somebody who doesn't play ball with whomever wants the game to be played? Explain all of that to me, Captain.
The best I can tell you is this. You know, for whatever reason, and I can't tell you what the reason is, I can't tell you what the rationale is, but there are people that they decide are going to be guilty, and they will make their investigation conclude that they are guilty, whether they have to leave things out, put things in, misrepresent things. They will make it happen. It's the conclusion in search of an investigation. And in many cases,
go ahead.
Other officers do the same thing and get nothing.
Somebody texted this in. I got to ask it. Does race play any hand in any of this?
You know, I don't know that. I don't see that. In many cases, I don't think it does, but I can't say that it doesn't, but I don't have any evidence of that.
Captain, thank you. I appreciate your time. I know we'll get some people that'll call and want to come on and contradict you, and you're welcome to call in while they're on. You know how I feel about NOPD and how it's important to get this out, because we're never going to fix it unless we deal with the systemic problems. I appreciate your time.
Not a problem. And like I said, remember, these things are all available through public records and they're published documents. They're available for anyone who wants to see them.
Thank you, Captain. Captain Michael Glasser, President, Police Association of New Orleans. Mayor, you heard it. If you want to come on, you can. Chief Ferguson, you heard it. If you want to come on, you can. 9:54, back in a flash, WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.